Like lots of youngsters, Tony Cox enjoyed playing basketball while he was growing up.
I played elementary school ball for a while, and then after that I get to high school, it's all over with, you know, because of my height.
Unlike lots of youngsters, Tony Cox stopped growing up when he reached 3 feet, 6 inches.
Then I started just keeping scores for the high school team.
After high school, Cox moved to L.A. to look for work. There were jobs for little people in the entertainment industry, but most of them involved dressing in costume. Cox wanted to be taken seriously as an actor, so he went to see the head of an acting school. Cox describes the trip in a recent documentary film titled Hollywood Shorties.
And the guy looked at me, and I'll never forget. He said, "So you think you can act, huh?" I said, "Yeah, I know I can act." He said, "Look at you. You're short, you're black, you got a strike against you already." He said, "Turn around." And he said, "You know what? You'll be in a costume the rest of your life." And I'll never forget that. Those some of the hurting things that I had heard. And I remember my aunt looked at me and she said, "That man don't know what's in your heart. That man don't know who you are. You from Uniontown, Alabama. Nobody talks to you like that." She said, "Now, if I was you, I'd prove it to him." When my aunt said those words to me, it was like, okay, I'm going to show him.
Cox would eventually get the opportunity to act and to play basketball again, thanks in part to this man.
Oh, Black Magic.
That's Billy Barty, also a little person, and also determined to show people who doubted his potential that they were wrong to do so. Barty's career in film and television spanned more than 70 years, and he was an activist. In 1949, he founded the Little People of America. The LPA's goal was to create career and social opportunities for people affected by dwarfism. The creation of the LPA eventually led to the formation of a basketball team called the Hollywood Shorties. Tony Cox was the team star player during their glory days in the early 80s, and many other actors played on the team as well. A documentary about those days has given the surviving players an opportunity to relive their triumphs on the court, which is how it came to be that we asked two of the shorties to join us in a studio in Los Angeles. Instead, four shorties showed up.
We could field a basketball team right now.
Yeah.
We can do it right here.
First, they'd have to get organized. Kevin Thompson can't remember exactly what position he played for the Shorties. Joe Gibb was a forward and a guard, he thinks. And Jimmy Briscoe claims he played goofball. And you already know Tony Cox.
I played the two guard and the one guard.
Closest thing I've heard yet to a straight basketball answer. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you very much.
The Hollywood Shorties ranged from 3'6" to 4', not much. According to Joe Gibb, recruiting talent was no problem.
Anytime you get some dwarfs together that could play ball, yeah, there was always a game going somewhere. And a lot of us could play basketball really well. And when the opportunity started coming up, it just started rolling. The ball started rolling.
But why did all these little people choose a sport dominated by big men? Kevin Thompson says that's an easy one.
I think we went, what would be the farthest thing from little guys to play, and that would be basketball. And that's why we chose that, to show that we can do anything.
The Shorties mostly played for charity, entertaining crowds who had bought tickets in support of a good cause. They combined hoops with shtick, especially when they showed up at schools to play against the faculty.
When I was in the circus, I was like the boss clown for 2 years, and I said, okay, we can't play straight basketball. We need to break it up and do gags or something. And it turned out pretty good. The best part was is when we'd play the faculty and the teachers and all that, and we'd whip them. The kids from the school, they loved us.
They would point out which teacher to get. Like, get him, because he was the mean teacher. Nobody liked him. So when we did that, the whole crowd would go bonkers.
It would be up to me, like, to kind of go over and maybe de-pants him in front of the student body or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Something that the kids could remember the rest of their lives, you know what I mean?
Be scarred by the rest
yeah.
of their lives.
Well, we'd yeah. just show him his shortcomings.
The clowning delighted everybody in the gym, but the Shorties probably wouldn't have kept everybody in their seats if they hadn't also been able to run, dribble, and shoot.
Oh, most definitely. We play ball, I mean, real ball, and then throw in some comedy in between, but... I mean, we were real players, man.
But as Thompson recalls, the shorties weren't playing basketball merely to amuse audiences and fill the time between their other jobs.
Our coach, Glenn, always would say, if we give them a good show, there might be an employer out there. A little person may come in for an opportunity for a job. And then realizing, I have just seen this group of little people beat the snot out of these other tall guys and doing things that I never thought that they could do, I might as well give this little person a chance at this job, and then they may do wonderful things for that company, and they would have not had that opportunity had that employer not watched that game.
It's perhaps safe to say none of the Hollywood shorties lost money playing for the team. It's absolutely safe to say nobody got rich, and the shorties all had other careers, or at least other employment, mostly in show business, especially the man we met at the beginning of our story.
Tony was unstoppable, man. He just took off.
Yeah, for the record, Star Wars, Willow, Spaceballs, we don't have time to list all of Tony's Tony's screen credits, but there were a lot of them.
Yeah, I'd like a few of his screen credits.
Not all of the other shorties worked as steadily as Tony Cox did, but they had their star turns. Joe Gibb appeared in the movie Weird Science, on Seinfeld, and in lots of other productions over nearly four decades in the business. Jimmy Briscoe got to kiss Cindy Williams in a 1979 episode of Laverne and Shirley. Kevin Thompson was cast in Blade Runner. But while the team's stars were acting in big-time movies, the big time eluded the shorties until December 5th, 1982. On the evening of that day, after years of charity games, the shorties landed a gig on the biggest of NBA stages, playing the Laker cheerleaders.
And that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
During that game, before a packed crowd at the LA Forum, home of the Showtime Lakers, Tony Cox unleashed what would become his signature shot, an underhanded toss from half court. That shot gets star treatment in the documentary.
I remember looking at the bench, George going, no! The bench going, no! And then the ball goes in and George goes, yes!
When he makes it, they go, oh! But knock me down.
The audience went crazy. I mean, I think I hit nothing but net. You know, I'm 3'6", the smallest guy on the court. And I guess, you know, to hit a shot like that from where I was shooting it at, I was blessed to be able to do that by God. And I'm just happy I was able to do it.
Perhaps it was that glorious moment that led to other gigs the Hollywood shorties and their fans found thoroughly enjoyable.
Oh, and we played against the Playboy Playmates. I think we played
bunnies.
Against the
bunnies. There's a difference.
Playboy Bunnies. But we played also against the Penthouse Pets. Yeah. The hardest thing was keeping your eye on the ball.
The laughs and celebrity notwithstanding, eventually some of the players grew weary of shtick. They formed the LA Breakers, a team that took the game of basketball much more seriously. A rift grew between those who valued basketball over clowning and those who felt the two could continue to complement each other. In the long run, the original shorties lost, and Showtime for them ended in the early 90s. But Ryan Stephen Green, who directed the documentary The Hollywood Shorties, says the legacy of the little ball players lives on in a big way.
Today, little people all over the world have the opportunity to play sports, and not just basketball, but all kinds of sports, thanks to organizations like the DAAA, the Dwarf Athletic Association of America. It's like the Hollywood Shorties are still there, even though they're not an entity anymore. Their DNA is infused in that organization.
Entertainment in the pursuit of equal opportunity is part of the point of the story of the Hollywood Shorties, but Green doesn't want that notion to obscure the joy the shorties embodied.
This isn't a film about dwarfism. This is a film about a team of dudes who were in their 20s, having the time of their life, and they had names, and they had fun.
As the shorties kidded and interrupted each other during our conversation, it became apparent that they're still enjoying themselves and the memories of their triumphs over the Laker girls and others, but they're also still working to pay their bills. That, says Kevin Thompson, is the ongoing challenge faced by little people.
Well, the wolf is always at the door, so we're always looking for wolves.
Got anything, Bill?
No. Right now, I don't have anything for them, though if any of my books get sold to Hollywood, well, never mind that. I will say that from the office window, I can see a couple of basketball courts, should the Shorties wish to put together a reunion tour and take on the Only a Game staff for purposes of fun, goodwill, and the joy of watching Tony Cox launch one more underhanded fling from half court. The documentary titled Hollywood Shorties will be available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and other video streaming platforms starting November 22nd. You can see Tony Cox in Bad Santa 2 in theaters on November 23rd.